Hello, this is George McAllister from InSeal, and I'd like to welcome our listeners to today's podcast session. We're pleased to have Doug Sherlock, Senior Healthcare Analyst for Sherlock Company, joining us today. Doug is here to give us quarterly insights into financial markets of health plans.
Thank you, George. In this podcast, we will review the performance of the publicly traded health plan industry for 2016 and performance so far in 2017. We will also review the health plan market valuation trends. First, I want to speak to stock prices and valuation. For all of 2016, stock prices for the publicly traded health plans gained ground by an average of 14%, which outpaced the 10% growth in the broader market measured by the S&P 500. Health plan market capitalization increased by 19% for the year. Six out of the 10 plans posted stock price gains for 2016. WellCare led the universe, surging by 75%, followed by Universal American's 42% gain. United Health grew by 36%, Aetna increased by 15%, Humana rose by 14%, and Anthem gained 3%. Conversely, Centene led plans with equity price declines at 14%. Triple S and Molina followed with decreases of 13% and 10% respectively, while Cigna dropped by 9%. Valuation indicators generally trended higher. Price to trailing 12 months earnings increased by 23% to 23 times. Price to operating earnings grew by 2% to 10 times. Price to sales fell by 7% to 0.49 times. Price to total member declined by 2% to $2,000 per member, and price per risk member gained 4% to $2,900. Since the beginning of the year, to February 24th, stock price performance was generally positive, with 7 out of the 10 plans posting gains and an average increase of 4%. Market capitalization for this sector is up by 5%, while the broader market posted slightly faster growth of 6%. Valuation indicators also trended higher so far in 2017. On to our review of operating trends. All plans reported fourth quarter and 2016 year-end financial results except for Triple S and Universal American, which were be reflected in this podcast on a trailing 12-month basis through September 30, 2016. Combined ASO and risk membership for the fourth quarter increased by an average of 16% year over year. In total, the combined membership grew by 7%. Note, average rates of change are calculated by each individual plan's rate of change, while total is the combined change for all plans. Fully insured risk membership grew by an average of 11% and in total by 7% to 77 million. Medicaid plans posted strong growth of 33% on average and 40% in total to 16 million. Centene's acquisition of HealthNet in March 2016 was the major driver in the sharp Medicaid membership growth. Excluding Centene, the universe of Medicaid plans posted an average and total growth in membership of 13%. Commercial plans grew by an average of 1% and in total by 3% to 61 million risk members. The proportion of self-funded ASO members declined by 1 percentage point to 49%. The decline in the proportion of ASO to total members was mainly due to the faster growth in risk members. That is chiefly through Medicaid growth. ASO membership was flat on average, but in total was up by 5% to 73 million. Fourth quarter revenues increased by an average of 14% and in total by 11% to $125 billion. Medicaid plans posted strong growth to revenues by an average of 35% and in total to 46% to $20 billion. Commercial revenues grew to $105 billion, an average increase of 4% and a total growth of 6%. Premium rates for all plans grew by an average of 3%. Premium rates for Medicaid plans grew by an average of 2%, while commercial plans climbed by an average of 3%. Note that the commercial rate growth does not adjust for product mix or for benefit design changes. Fourth quarter operating earnings were mixed, with half of the plans posting year-over-year growth. In aggregate, operating income of $7 billion during the fourth quarter represented an increase of 2% and a total growth of 17%. Medicaid plans experienced an average decline in operating earnings of 15%, but a total increase of 16% to $477 million. Commercial plans grew by an average of 9%, and they were up by 17% in total to $6 billion. Average operating margins for all plans fell by 0.5 percentage points to 3.8%. Medicaid plans posted a 0.9 percentage point drop to 1.9%, while commercial plans experienced a 0.3 percentage point decline to 4.6%. The average health benefit ratio trended slightly lower by 0.1 percentage points to 83.2%. Medicaid plans posted an average health benefit ratio also of 83.2%, and that was a 0.8 percentage point decline. Centene was primarily responsible for the drop, stating in its conference call that these improvements were primarily related to the product mix shift from the addition of Health Net. Molina, however, experienced an increase in health benefit ratio. During Molina's earnings call, the company noted that a number of adverse factors that affected its health benefit ratio in an exchange business. We expected, and I'm quoting here, we expected lower financial results in the fourth quarter as a result of four trends: normal membership attrition, the addition of higher cost members in the special enrollment process, higher cost as members reach the limit of cost-sharing provisions of the coverage, and increasing utilization as members become more engaged with our healthcare networks. Throughout the fourth quarter, all of these trends, except the first, that is, normal member attrition, were more pronounced than we had expected, close quote. The average commercial health benefit ratio grew by 0.2 percentage points to 83.1%. Our calculation of health benefit ratios excludes the impact of favorable and unfavorable prior period reserve development. When they're announced, Sherlock Company removes them from the reported expenses, and then Sherlock Company allocates them to the quarters in which the actual expenses took place. There were four plans that had such reserve developments during the fourth quarter of 2016. The average administrative expense to premium ratio increased by 0.8 percentage points to 12.7%. Medicaid plans posted a 1.7 percentage point growth to 15.2%. Centene experienced a higher ratio, mainly on, in its view, one, the acquisition of HealthNet, since it operated at higher administration to premium ratio because of its higher mix of commercial. Again, this is its view. Centene's fourth quarter included a higher level of seasonal costs related to the open enrollment period for health insurance marketplace business due to the expected growth in 2017. Commercial administrative expense ratios were higher by 0.3 percentage points to 11.7%. Anthem noted during its earnings call that administrative expenses trended higher than expected for the fourth quarter due to higher than expected incentive compensation expenses and additional severance expenses to support ongoing initiatives. Non-operating earnings were mixed, with half of the plans experiencing quarterly declines or, in more dramatic cases, from losses to larger losses. Non-operating income was $282 million, with a year-over-year average rate of change of negative 45%. The average change, again, excludes changes from losses to gain and losses to larger losses. Non-operating earnings grew in total by 46%. That's the difference, the total versus the average. Commercial plans posted a total increase of 53% to $340 million. Anthem experienced a significant improvement in non-operating income, mainly due to higher income from so-called alternative investments. Medicaid plans posted a loss of $57 million from a loss of $28 million in the comparable quarter for these non-operating earnings. The drop for Medicaid plans was mainly due to higher interest expenses from debt issuances, in many cases relating to acquisitions. Our calculation of non-operating earnings includes investment income net of interest expenses, as well as earnings from non-health insurance lines of business. Fourth quarter net earnings trends were split, as about half of the plans reported gains and half posted declines. For all plans, net earnings fell by an average of 9%, but grew in total by 23% to $4 billion. The average change is skewed by SSSs and Molina's drop in net earnings. Once again, this podcast reflects SSSs' third quarter earnings. Anyway, excluding SSS and Molina, the average growth in net earnings was 23%. Medicaid plans reported net income of $521 million, an average decline of 15%, but a total increase of 20%. Commercial plans fell by an average of 6%, but are up by 24% in total to $4 billion. The 2016 fiscal year results were slightly more positive than the quarterly results. Annual revenues increased by an average of 16% and in total by 14% to $491 billion. The average health benefit ratio increased by 0.2 percentage points to 83.8%, and the average administrative expenses grew by 0.1 percentage point to 11.9%. Annual operating earnings were higher for 6 out of the 10 plans, with an average increase of 3% and a total gain of 9% to $28 billion. Non-operating earnings trends trended lower, with average decline of 50% and a total decrease of 56% to $621. Net income posted an average decline of 6%, but was higher in total by 6% to $16 billion. I want to touch on some environmental factors that are meaningful in understanding these companies. With WellCare announcing its intent to acquire Universal American Corporation in November, along with the Cigna, Anthem, and Humana, Aetna, it appeared that the industry was heading towards significant consolidation. However, in the past month and a half, the Cigna, Anthem, and Humana-Aetna deals were blocked by federal judges, both noting the benefits of combining did not outweigh the effect on competition in their view. While both deals cited economies of scale as major drivers of synergies for acquisitions, we believe, as mentioned in previous podcasts, that the benefits are liable to be overstated of administrative economies of scale. We found that functions comprising a range of between 16 to 32% of costs have demonstrated economies of scale, and those functions, after merger, after the merger, would have administrative expenses that would range for 81 to 90% of the pre-doubling PMPM value. Just one more time, 16% of the costs are subject to economies of scale, and if you double the size of the enterprise, those 16% remain at 81% of its pre-doubling value. This is not insignificant, but it's not earth-shattering either. Please contact us if you would like to have some additional information on our study of economies of scale. In that vein, we're also about to launch our 20th annual Sherlock Benchmarks. The study is focused on administrative expenses and has served as a catalyst for change in many health plans. Most health plans serving most Americans are current users of the benchmarks. If you'd like to have more information on our Blue Cross Blue Shield universe, our independent provider-sponsored universe, Medicare or Medicaid universes, please contact me. My email is sherlock@sherlockco.com. We also have an awful lot more detail on the administrative costs in our Pulse newsletter. Please contact us concerning getting a copy of that. And, of course, as we mentioned each time, a free transcript of this podcast is available upon request. You can contact MCOL or me, Doug Sherlock, directly. This is Doug Sherlock of Sherlock Company.
Thank you. You've been listening to Doug Sherlock share his quarterly insights into the financial markets of health plans.
Thanks, George.